Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today. And we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue and today conclude our series of studies on the topic, Four Steps to a Better Life. We're looking at Paul's admonition in Ephesians and Colossians about how to live a Spirit-filled life based upon the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly. So we invite you now to get your Bibles and turn to Ephesians 5 and Colossians chapter 3. We'll be comparing those two passages and using them as our starting point for today. And as you do that, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us. We have, of course, a mailing address, a web address, and a toll-free phone number. And in any one of those ways, you can contact us this week and request the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs, or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies on the steps to a better life. And this will be the last week that we offer this series because this will be the last week of our study. So if you'd like to receive it, please do drop us a line today. If you've missed any of the studies throughout the month and you'd like to get caught up on them, or if you'd just like to have the set for future reference and for study on your own at your own pace, please do write and request it. Right now, Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. Ephesians 5 verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And then Colossians 3 verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." As we've been seeing each week, those admonitions of Paul are admonitions that we need to take together and compare together and view them as parallel. In Ephesians, the admonition to be filled with the Spirit. In Colossians, the admonition to allow the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly. The Word to dwell in us richly, or in you richly, in all wisdom. And those two commandments, those two admonitions of Paul, are followed by, in each passage, very similar results. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20, or verse 19 rather, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In Colossians chapter 3, the end of verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So in each case, there is speaking, and that speaking involves music. It's speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 3, verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So the second issue there, after speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, is giving of thanks. Thanksgiving to God. And finally, in the verse 21 of Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things. Verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. So the third issue there is submission. And we've been looking at the four steps to a better life in this new year. And the four steps are found in this passage of Paul in Ephesians and Colossians. We started off by understanding that this issue of being filled with the Spirit and having the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, the results of those are the same. And those two things are equal. That when Paul says we are to be filled with the Spirit, the way that we are filled with the Spirit is by allowing the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly. Jesus Christ said about the words that He spoke, the words that I speak unto you, which of course, because Jesus Christ was God, they are the words of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. So Paul, Jesus Christ says, these words that I speak, they are Spirit and they are life. So when you read those words, understand those words, take those words into your heart, They are spirit. That is being filled with the Spirit, being filled with the life of Christ, because the Word of God is quick and powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, the word quick is an old English word that means it's living, it's alive. Well, whose life is it that's in that book? Well, obviously, it's the Word of God, so the life that's in there is the life of God. The life of Christ dwells in that book. And the first step to a better life is to get a life, to understand where life is. It's in the pages of this book. Second step is talk to yourself. Talk what to yourself? Well, we saw that music, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, music is designed by God to teach His Word, to proclaim His Word, to proclaim it to those that don't know it, and for those that do know it, to rehearse it again and again in our minds. We saw that by putting something to music, it allows us to remember it. Paul talks about specifically here in Ephesians chapter 5, making melody in your heart. It's the melody. The melody line is where the lyric is, where the words are. And we make melody in our hearts. We're remembering the words. Putting the words to music allows us to more easily remember that music and rehearse that music and understand it and make it a part of our existence. That's why you remember commercial jingles, because it's an advertising message put to music. Same thing is true of God's Word. God's Word put to music. The spiritual songs, teaching God's spiritual truth, put to music. Thanksgiving. Last week we looked at the issue of thanksgiving as one of the steps to a better life. And it affects your whole attitude, your whole outlook. Giving thanks to God for the blessings that He has given you in Christ Jesus in spite of the circumstances and the difficulties that you might be facing in your life. Thanksgiving to God for what He's done for you in Christ Jesus. And if you can be thankful in the midst of trials and tribulations, rather than allowing the trials and the tribulations to affect your attitude and your outlook, take your attitude and outlook and allow it to affect the trials and tribulations. And give thanks in all things for what you have in Christ Jesus. And finally, what we're going to look at today, the issue of submission. We're going to title today, we've seen, that the overall topic is four steps to a better life. What are those steps? Number one is to understand where you can get a life. Number one, get a life. Number two, talk to yourself. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Number three, give thanks. Give thanks for what God has done for you in Christ Jesus and what He's given you in Christ Jesus. And number four, don't do your own thing. You know, in the world's view, it's very important to do your own thing, to make your own way, to think of number one first. But that's exactly the opposite of what the Scripture prescribes as the way for a better life. Listen to what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 5. He starts off in verse 21 by talking about submission. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And then he gives some illustrations of that submission. In verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Down in verse 25, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Down in chapter 6, verse number 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Finally, in verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. And then down in verse 9, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respective persons with him. So there is this list of submissions, various kinds of submission. In Colossians 3, we see the same thing. Verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that ye of the Lord... ye shall receive a reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord God, or the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Again, all kinds of submit, every area of your life is dealt with there. Your relationship, your family relationships, your relationship with those outside your family, whether they be masters or servants, whether you be over them or under them, those issues are all dealt with. And notice, in each case, what Paul says is to serve others. Let's look at the Ephesians 5 chapter, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So, and of course, that's the passage that men love to quote. Submit, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. But if you notice verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And what did Christ give for the church? Well, he gave his whole life for the church. He died for us. But not only did he die for us, but he also lives for us. He died for us on the cross, but he's now resurrected, sits at the right hand of the Father, and makes intercession for us on a continuing basis. So it's not just that he died for the church, but he also lives his life for the church. Is that for his benefit or our benefit? Well, clearly that's for our benefit. He didn't need to do that. He didn't need to die for the church. He doesn't need to live his life for the church. He was fine just the way he was. But he did that for us. So you see, although verse 21, or verse 22 rather, says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, that's followed with verse 25 that says, husbands, love your wives and give yourselves to them as Christ gave himself to the church. That means Christ did for the church what we needed, not what he needed. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church means husbands, do for your wife, provide for your wife, give to your wife what she needs, not what you need. That's why he says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another. It's mutual submission. In chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. But in verse 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, any of you listening to me that are parents know that once you have children, it's not always, in fact, it's very rarely, what is best for you, but rather what is best for them. It's no longer what do I need, but what do they need. So although the admonition there is children, obey your parents and submit to your parents, there's also that following admonition in verse 4, that instructs fathers to bring children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and whatever it takes to do that, you give up of yourself to do that. So even between a parent and a child, there's a mutual submission in the sense that the parent's desires and wants are pushed down, as it were, in favor of the needs of the child. When you get down to verse 5, servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh. And then down to verse 9, ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is a respect of persons with him. The same thing is true here, of the one under authority and in authority. Servants, submit yourselves to your masters, but masters, treat your servants properly, forbearing threatening, knowing that you also have a master, which is in heaven. And you deal with your servants on the earth, those that are under you on the earth, in the same way that he deals with you in grace and truth. So in each of those cases, Paul says the key to the relationship is submission of what's best for you, of your desires, of your wants, of your needs, in favor of someone else, in favor of your spouse, in favor of your children, in favor of your servants. A putting away of what's in your best interest in favor of what's in their best interest. That's the principle that he's teaching here. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, he goes through that principle in more detail, and he illustrates it with Christ. He illustrates what Christ did. Philippians 2 verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Now here, verse 3 is the key. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You esteem that other one better than yourself. Look not every man on his own things, verse 4, but look every man also on the things of others. So there's the two principles. Esteem others better than yourself. Look not on your own things, but look on the things of others. And that doesn't mean, you know, nose into their business. That means look to their needs. Look to what they need before what you need. And Paul follows that up, those two admonitions there in verse 3 and 4, with verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Paul instructs us there in Philippians chapter 2 that we should have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ when? Well, when he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He did not do what was for his benefit. He did not look on his own things. He did not esteem himself higher than us, even though it was not robbery for him to claim equality with God, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He certainly had a right to consider himself better than us. He was better than us. He was God. He certainly had a right not to look on our things, but on the things of himself, because his things were the things of God. Our things were the things of man. And yet, he chose, by an act of his love and his mercy and his grace, to make himself of no reputation, to look upon our things before his things, to esteem us, fallen sinners, more highly than himself, and because of that, to take upon him the form of a servant. See, that's our example. Our example is that our Lord, who was a servant to no man, because he was God, took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And as a man, as a servant, humbled himself even further and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Paul is giving us that illustration in the context of his admonition to us. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's Paul's admonition. Paul's admonition is look on the things of others, esteem others more highly than yourself. Do what Christ did. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do what he did. Turn back to Romans chapter 5. Look at how Paul describes it for us in the fifth chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. Romans 5 and verse 6. We read this. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were without strength, we were totally unable to save ourselves, Christ died. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were without strength, we were sinners, and Christ died. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. We were enemies. We were without strength, we were sinners, we were enemies. When we were without strength, Christ died. When we were sinners, Christ died. When we were enemies, Christ died. Whose well-being was he looking out for? Whose benefit was he seeking? His own? Not at all. Not his own benefit, not his own needs, not his own desires, but our benefit. When he went to the cross, while we were without strength, and while we were sinners, and while we were enemies, he wasn't doing anything that was going to benefit him. He was doing all that so that it might benefit us. He wasn't esteeming himself. He was esteeming us more highly than himself. He wasn't looking on his own things. He was looking on our things, that is, on our well-being and our needs. And what we needed when we were without strength was strength. And what we needed when we were yet sinners was justification. And what we needed when we were enemies is reconciliation. And in his death, he provided all of those things. He condescended, he became flesh, and humbled himself and became obedient to the death of the cross. And verse 8 is the heart of it. God commended his love toward us. God's love is commended. That is, it's not just that God sits in heaven and says, I love you, I love you, I love you. God commended it. He demonstrated that love. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. One last passage in this regard. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 how that love should constrain us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The love of Christ constraineth us. It's the love of Christ that motivates us, that constrains us, that motivates us to serve. Because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. And in that he died for us, he died for us that we should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for us and rose again. You see, his death for us is our motivation to live for him. Because we thus judge, if one died for all, then all were dead. And he died for us, not so that we could go on living like we were, living for ourselves, but so that we might live for him. And part of living for him is esteem others better than yourselves. Look, every man not on his own thing, but on the things of others, at how you might serve others. One of the steps to a better life is don't do your own thing. Look on the things of others. Don't serve yourself. Serve others. If you want this coming year to be a better year, to have a better life, then follow these four steps that we've reviewed the past 4 weeks. Number one, get a life. Understand where life is. It's in the Word of God, and get your nose in that book and find His life in His book. Number two, talk to yourself. Take the words of this book, rehearse them over and over and over again. If you can find the doctrine set to music, do it that way. Speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. It's the best way to memorize it and understand it and retain it in your mind. Give thanks. Live your life not with an attitude, with a chip on your shoulder and a grudge, but start every day with an attitude of thanksgiving, not for the things around you that may well be bad, but for what you have in Christ, what God has given you in Christ, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And finally, don't do your own thing, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. That's the way to truly have a better life in the coming year. We'd like to help you understand more about that life of Christ, how you can receive it and how you can live it. And if you'd write to us here at Grace Alive, our address is simply Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. If you write to us this week, we'd be glad to answer any questions or hear any comments that you might have about the program. We'd also be glad to send you the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. Just write and request Four Steps to a Better Life, or just mention the series on a better life. We'll know what you mean, and we'll get it out to you. Until next week, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.